The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, February 5th through Sunday, February 11th, 2024. The commentary for February was written by Julia Ayala Harris, who serves as the president of the House of Deputies, the first Latina and woman of color elected to the position. She is passionate about issues of immigration, race, and ethnicity, truth-telling, LGBTQ plus inclusion, and justice initiatives. She and her husband, John Harris, live with their daughter in Norman, Oklahoma. The commentary for Monday, February 5th, begins as follows with a passage from the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. These verses have always summarized for me how we should live out the gospel through kindness, hospitality to strangers, and ministering to those society oppresses. When I read this passage from Hebrews, I am reminded of the song my husband and I played at our wedding, "Waiting on an Angel" by Ben Harper. The lyrics echo the scripture calling on us to treat strangers with kindness as we may be entertaining angels without knowing it. Harper also sings the haunting lyric, "I don't wanna go alone." We danced to this song on the day we dedicated our lives to each other, but the lyrics apply not only to marriage, but also to life in community with others. We vow to treat each other in the community, society of our marriage, in the same way the gospel instructs us to treat everyone. When we embrace this way of life and love, we need not worry about walking alone. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 16. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for He has said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." So we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?" Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings, for it is well for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by regulations about food, which have not benefited those who observe them. We have an altar from which those who officiate in the tent have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also suffered outside the city gate in order to sanctify the people by his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp and bear the abuse he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And the moving forward question for this day is, what songs remind you of Scripture? Share them with us at Forward Day by Day. And now we'll turn to the commentary for Tuesday, February 6th, beginning with a passage from John chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." Here's the commentary. This passage is so well known that it's a challenge, a holy challenge, a healthy challenge, to read it again with carefully detached eyes so that I don't simply ascribe the popular meaning to it. Here Jesus is showing us how we should live as faithful people. He holds up a mirror to the stone throwers. He is the champion who stands up with the woman every time. Jesus washes this woman of all her sin, not because he thinks she's an adulteress, but because we are all sinful. This is the Jesus I follow, the one who asks us to examine our motives and hypocrisies, who calls us to extend mercy and grace to others. Jesus knows that the true heart of the matter isn't about why the Pharisees dragged her into this scenario. It's about the fact that she's been personally transformed. And now the full passage of the gospel today, John chapter 7, verses 53 through chapter 8, verses 11. Then each of them went home, while Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and making her stand before all of them, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, when have you been the woman in the story? When have you been the stone thrower? Now the commentary for Wednesday, February 7th, it begins with a passage from Romans chapter 12, verse 1b. "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." In this passage in Romans, we are asked to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. More than 2,000 years later, we are still learning about how we use our bodies and how our bodies impact our lived experiences. In light of this passage, I reflect on how the Black Lives Matter, BLM, movement has helped our society and church recognize the injustice that black bodies are not valued the same as white bodies. We also have seen how bringing our bodies together in community, whether into the streets for protest or into the church pews for worship, is very different from meeting in virtual spaces. As we consider how important our bodies are, this passage from Romans takes on new meaning and challenges us to consider how our physical bodies, through our presence and actions, influence our spiritual, societal, and cultural health. These words from Paul call upon us to reframe and transform how we think about how we use our bodies and how every body is worthy of full and abundant life. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ. And individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching. The exhorter in exhortation. The giver in generosity. The leader in diligence. The compassionate in cheerfulness. And the moving forward question for this day is, how is your body a living sacrifice? The commentary for Thursday, February 8th also begins with a passage from Romans, chapter 12, verse 12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Some of this passage can be read as instructions for individuals, while other parts address our community and common lives. 10 to 15 years ago, happiness literature was popular and offered succor to people who were suffering. The whole purpose was about ignoring unhappiness, not feeling it. In that way, it was a prosperity gospel for happiness. This passage from Romans is about community making, being there for each other, and rejoicing when others rejoice. It is not about running from bad things or making them disappear. Instead, it is about loving each other through the hard times. This passage runs counter to a culture where our goal is self-satisfaction. Jesus never promises us that we will escape hard times if only we take up our crosses and follow Him. But He does tell us that with Him and with community, love will sustain us. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, what do you think about the premise of a prosperity gospel for happiness? The commentary for Friday, February 9th, begins also with a passage from Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. The golden rule is a wonderful guiding principle in our lives, but for many other women and me, we love others and struggle with loving ourselves. Sometimes we will indulge in loving ourselves after we pour all our love into others, but society teaches women to love themselves last and least. The whole Bible witnesses to this. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. But what if the neighbor is me? I find that it's easier to love my neighbor and sacrifice myself. My head knows that that's not what Jesus is asking us to do, but I find that women's hearts often default to caring first for our families, extended families, and jobs. Sacrifice is the expected norm. We care for ourselves only if we have the time, which is considered a great self-indulgence. May I carry this verse in my heart to remind myself that I, too, am a beloved child of God, and that it is right and holy to treat myself as one. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 14. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those authorities that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to conduct to good conduct, but to bad. Do you wish to have no fear of the authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive its approval, for it is God's servant for your good. But if you do what is wrong, you should be afraid, for the authority does not bear the sword in vain. It is the servant of God to execute wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be subject not only because of wrath, but also because of conscience. For the same reason you also pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, busy with this very thing. Pay to all what is due them, taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. And the moving forward statement or suggestion for today is, this week be deliberate about showing yourself love and compassion. Now the commentary for Saturday, February 10th, it begins with, once again, the passage from Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Let us then pursue what makes for peace and for mutual edification. The first Sunday after I moved to a different state, my family and I attended a nearby Episcopal church. At the end of the service, several people invited us to lunch. All our belongings were still in boxes, and we did not know a soul in town, so naturally we enthusiastically said yes. Well, throughout that meal, I learned about those around the table. The vegan yoga enthusiast professor liked to run marathons and spoke of the earth as our sibling in creation. Next to him sat a gentleman who talked about his extended cab pickup truck, the benefits of fracking for petrol, and which guns he preferred to take to the shooting range. The stories went on like this, where each person described a different lifestyle or political leaning from the person sitting next to them. As we shared this meal, there was honesty, laughter, and mutual respect, despite the differences in each person's identities. On our way home, my husband and I agreed that we had just found our parish family. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Romans, chapter 14, verses 1 through 23. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day observe it in honor of the Lord. Also those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each of us will be accountable to God. Let us therefore no longer pass judgment on one another, but resolve instead never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of another. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is the unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. If your brother or sister is being injured by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. Do not let what you eat cause the ruin of one for whom Christ died. So do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The one who thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and has human approval. Let us then pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for you to make others fall by what you eat. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that makes your brother or sister stumble. The faith that you have as your own conviction before God. Blessed are those who have no reason to condemn themselves because of what they approve. But those who have doubts are condemned if they eat, because they do not act from faith, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. And the moving forward suggestion for this Saturday, invite a diverse group to a meal at your home. And as we reach the end of our program for this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, February 11th, the last Sunday of Epiphany. Begins with a passage from Mark 9, verses 2b to 3. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling bright, such as no one on earth could bleach them. This passage is one of the times that the disciples have unquestioning proof that Jesus is God's Son. God provides data that the disciples will understand the linear progression from Moses to Elijah to Jesus. Even before God speaks to them from the cloud, the disciples react with terror. Peter in particular resorts to good-intentioned babbling about tents and rest. God explains what they are seeing. Then Jesus tells them not to tell anyone until after the resurrection. How can these disciples keep such a transformative experience bottled up? It seems to me that if this happened today, it would be best to make the transfiguration story go viral to create new followers of Jesus. But God's timing is different. Viral videos versus delayed gratification, sensational gossip versus steadfast faith. Peter, James, and John aren't ready to tell the story yet because they haven't experienced the resurrection of Christ. They are not yet the seasoned disciples we see in the book of Acts. Now the transfiguration story from Mark 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. He was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The moving forward question, imagine a social media post about the transfiguration. What would it say? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thanks for joining me today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Join me again next week for another program. Goodbye until then.